Hallelujah. If you have your Bible for a few moments. Perilous times is the term that is used for the last day circumstances of the world that we would be living in. The Bible said of this day that we're living in, there would be perilous times because men shall become. That's what's causing the trouble. It's what people are becoming. Men shall become, and it starts with lovers of their own self. I call that, and I believe biblically substantiated, that's the ultimate idolatry. The ultimate idolatry is not bowing before a stone Buddha or some other fabricated god or image that you bow to. The ultimate is the worship of self, self-love. Because all we think about when you love yourself is self-preservation. You don't think about anybody but you. And we've earned, according to sociologists, looking at the culture that America was in several years ago, they called it the me generation. It's all about me. And the church kind of rode into that to attract the me generation to tell everybody it's all about you. God just lives to bless you and give you everything that your heart could desire. Don't worry about self-denial when you can follow Jesus and be self-indulgent. You can have all the riches. You can have all the health. You'll never need a doctor. You'll never need a lawyer. You'll never need any financial assistance because you will become stinking, filthy rich. I saw a T-shirt the other day I thought about getting. It said, I am stinking, filthy rich. Then underneath it said, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I'll let you guess which the 2 out of 3 are. I'm looking at rich people today, not just, now listen, don't get me wrong, the boomerang thing is you know, given, it shall be given unto you. That you can use that in a very positive way. Amen. Your boomerang comes back, so just sow the right seed so you can get the right harvest. Amen. Too many Christians sow the wrong seeds all week long, come to church on Sunday praying for a crop failure. It won't work. You have to repent. Repent doesn't mean just cry alligator tears over what you did wrong. It means quit doing it. And not only quit doing what's wrong, but start doing what's right. Amen. So I pray your boomerang comes back with good things. I don't have to pray it comes back. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we want to reap the good things of the Lord. Amen. We're living in the last days. Perilous times will come because men shall be lovers of their own self. And then the whole litany of what that self-love produces. Actually, if I had a board up here, I'm a bad artist. I would draw the trunk. I think Doug had the concept and maybe even showed it to me. It may have got online at one time, but it was the trunk of a huge tree, and the trunk was self-love. And then every branch, lovers of their own self, proud, boasters, fierce, unholy, despisers of those that are good, that's right here, right now, that's part and parcel of the persecution. If you have moral standards that doesn't match the world's moral standard, which is an immoral standard, then you're persecuted, you're categorized, you're called a bigot, you're called a hater, all of these things, and that's the way the world looks at anyone that's holding a Judeo-Christian standard today in today's world. The Bible is a hated book. Right now, Satan is being celebrated openly, publicly, at some of the greatest events that are televised. People literally celebrating Satan. Target just had a Satanist design some kids' clothes. And Target isn't doing too well. You know what that tells me? There's still a remnant left here in America. And it's not just a tiny remnant. There is a strong remnant of people that say, this isn't right. We can't just go along with all of this stuff. I quit drinking Bud Light. I'm off it. I'm done. Now, see, somebody's going to go off and say, Brother Wilbur have been drinking that booze. I knew it. He finally fessed up. We thought he was drunk on the Spirit. No, they boycotted. Enough people did not want. People are finally, and it's not just the Christian community. There are people left in the world that were raised different and to a different standard. The influence of the Christian faith in America is still having an impact. And I'm glad to see it. I believe it's going to affect politics. I believe it's going to affect churches and where people choose to go to church today. I don't want to go to a compromising church that in the name of love compromises truth. Can you say amen? I don't want to hear a preacher that compromises the truth. I'm not going to do that. I would never do that. This is a heaven or hell issue. It always has been. And I want to at least give people on their way to hell the opportunity to make a U-turn. Can you say amen? God is good today. Perilous times. But it connotates all of this stuff that's going on will wear you thin and wear you down. And it connotates the reducing of the strength. It's a strategy of Satan himself. In the book of Revelation, it tells us during the tribulation, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth during that day of the Lord. For Satan hath come down to you. And it's really, he's doing that through the Antichrist himself. He's come down to you having great wrath, for he knows he has but a short time. What he does, he's got to do quickly because his days are numbered. Remember when Jesus approached the demoniac of the Gadarenes, this guy that no one could hold, supernatural strength and power, chains couldn't hold him. He went naked and he cut himself on the rocks. And when Jesus approached him, demons began to speak. A demon that spoke for a legion of demons spoke through him and said, we know who you are. We recognize you. Why did you come to persecute us before our time? There's not a devil in hell that doesn't know that their time is limited. The lake of fire is awaiting. And once that occurs, there will be no more devil to deal with, no more demons to deal with. They will be consigned with the false prophet, with the Antichrist, and with those who have not believed on Jesus Christ. If you want to read about that, it's in Revelation chapter 20. And the Bible says that consignment, by the way, everyone's going to have a resurrection, not just Christians. Everybody's going to come back to life and back into a permanent body. Revelation 20 said the sea gave up its dead. This is not the Christian resurrection. This is not the rapture. This is not the second coming. This is standing before a holy God that has been rejected, that has been blasphemed. And more importantly, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood to save, that they have trodden underfoot the Son of God and done despite the blood of the covenant. Amen. And the Bible said, I saw the sea give up its dead. That means someone that was eaten by a great white and excreted into the ocean. God is going to bring all those molecules. See, he's a bigger God than you give him credit. Well, how could he do that? Well, because he's God, darling. Because he said, let there be, and the firmament came into existence. A God that big can pull this off. Well, what about people that were burned up in the Hindenburg that were Christian? How's he going to get them up on resurrection morning? How's he going to do that? Because he's God, sweetheart. Can you say amen? If he can't do that, he's not God. He's not a God with a lot of might, but he has limitations. He has no limitations. Hallelujah. He's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. He doesn't have some power. Praise God. He's got all power. And the Bible said because he does, he's able to subdue everything unto himself. Whatever he's purposed, whatever he's promised, he is able to do. In fact, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask. In your wildest imagination, you can't come close to what God is able to do. Wow. So here we are fretting. Here we are worrying. I prayed with a preacher at 4 o'clock in the morning this week with terrible stomach pains in the emergency room, and he called me, and I appreciated him calling me. Praise God. Amen. Because that meant he had faith that when I prayed for him, that God would hear and God would help. So I didn't mind the 4 in the morning call from the emergency room in Lakeland Hospital. By the way, he did go home, and I was about ready to hang up the phone, and I, because he'd been waiting 2 hours to see a doctor, and his stomach was aching like crazy, and he's in pain. I could tell he couldn't hardly talk for the pain. But before I hung up, I said, wait a minute, Lord, would you give him a pain? Would you give him something for the pain? Hallelujah. Amen. I don't mean just grace either. Amen. Grace to bear it. Amen. When I'm in pain, I don't want grace to bear it. I want God to heal it. That's just me. That's the way I operate. Amen. Now, when I'm going through trials, I want the same thing, but I don't get it. He takes me through the trial. God is bigger, and God is better than most Christians give him credit for. Amen. The sea gives up the dead. The land gives up the dead. And everyone who's ever lived and died without Christ, there's an exception. All those who were not found written in the Lamb's book of life, in the book of life. All those whose names were not found written in the book of life will stand before the great white throne judgment. The Bible says this is the second death. But it's not a death of finality. It is a eternal separation from God and an eternal punishment. Now, I personally believe there are levels to a punishment in hell. I don't believe just someone who was a criminal, petty theft. It's not even what you did. It's what you didn't do with what God offered you. Someone asked me about the 7 deadly sins, said, isn't this one of the 7 deadly sins? And I said, they're all deadly. They're all deadly. The 10 commandments are like a chain, 10 links in a chain. The Bible teaches he that offends in one of those is guilty of the whole law. If you need someone to pull you in, call AAA. I don't want my car hurt. I will come and sit with you until they get there, buy you something to drink and bring it. No Bud Light. You just have to listen. He that sins in one point is guilty of the law. God has provided a remedy for sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And those who reject that offer of forgiveness and that offer of salvation will stand before God. They will answer for every single sin they've ever committed. There will be no defense. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? There's no excuse for not receiving Jesus. You say, well, I can't believe. No, there is no one on this planet that cannot believe. There's a lot of people that refuse to believe because they love their sin more than the Savior who came to save them. to every man, every single person born since Adam, is given the measure of faith. Amen. What is that measure of faith given for? It's given to us so when we hear the gospel, we can heed the gospel, and we can receive Jesus as our Savior by faith, repenting of our sin. Can you say amen? So I can't believe will be no excuse at the great white throne. Every atheist has the faith to believe in God, and more than that, to believe on Christ as their Savior. No one can't believe. There's a lot of people that will not believe. And they push away the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They don't want to hear. They close their ears to the hearing of the gospel. But everyone will stand and everyone will answer on that day. But as we see that day coming, that day approaching, the Bible said the times will be perilous, outrageous, dangerous. And the scripture is very clear, evil men and seducers. That's what the perilous time is. That's what has created it. They will wax worse and worse, deceiving, and while deceiving others, being deceived themselves. Exponentially worse. Is it going to get better before he comes? No. In the culture, it's going to get worse. Can we have a revival? Yes. Can many souls be swept into the kingdom? Yes. Are we going to get someone in office that is, I want a conservative in office. I'm going to vote for a conservative in office. I'm going to use my vote for that purpose. But I'm not under the illusion that any man can change prophetic time and prophetic circumstance. Nobody is going to change what the Bible says, but Jesus. Can you say amen? But here's the good news. It's going to get so bad, a lot of people that are on the fence are going to have to identify. Can you say amen? This is a positive thing that I believe God's going to do. If you're on the fence, if you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, that foot in the world is going to identify you with all of this stuff that the devil is doing. And you'll find yourself, if you keep giving in to it, you'll find yourself worshiping the devil while going to church. And that won't work because you can't eat, according to the scripture, at the table of demons and the table of the Lord. If you're on the fence, you need to get off the fence. Amen. You need to identify with Jesus or identify with this lost and dying world. And the Bible says of this world, and that's why it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know what the Bible says of the world as it is? It says the whole world lieth in wickedness, literally under the direct and distinct influence of the devil. The whole world lieth in wickedness under the distinct influence of the devil. And until you come to Christ, the Bible said you're of your father, the devil, and his works you'll do. And going to church isn't going to change that. Coming to Jesus, repenting of your sin, will change that. But until you do, you're trying to straddle the fence. I want my free ticket to heaven, but boy, I want to party hardy with the sinners all week long. Somebody said, will I have to give up my flaky friends if I choose to follow Jesus? No, you will not. If you follow Jesus, they'll dump you. Can you say amen? They'll bail out on you. Just don't go to the bar with them. Don't drink with them. Don't enter into filthy language with them. Don't identify with a world that is filled with antichrist spirits. We got too many preachers so soft on sin. So soft on sin. That the sinner feels comfortable to be in the world all week long and sit in the church on Sunday and get a false sense of security. Here's what Jesus said about that, and this is the illusion. And the devil would rather have you have a false sense of security than have the real sealing of the Holy Spirit, which brands you and marks you as His. The Bible said, in the midst of all this shaking, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal or this inscription on its foundation: the Lord knoweth them that are His. It's not your claim on God. It's His claim on you that has the final authority. Is it possible to know then that you're saved? Certainly. You know why? Because it's very possible to know if you're not. If there's been no change, you ain't saved. You say, well, I join the church. I go to church. I pack a Bible to church with me. I like the story of the blind man that had a Braille Bible, but no one knew it was Braille, but it had a cover on it just like a big, you know, family Bible. And he walked in front of this house on the way to church with his cane every Sunday morning carrying that big Bible. Bigger because it was Braille. And a man just got inquisitive, and he said, you're blind. The man said, yes, I am. He said, why are you carrying that Bible? He said, I just want everybody to know what side I'm on. Can you say amen? Whose side are you on? Whose side are we on? Amen. The question is asked, and it begs an answer. In the old covenant, who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the Lord's side among you? The Bible said one of the signs of that self-love will be people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's why the church had to adjust its message to self-indulgence, if you follow Jesus, rather than self-sacrifice. There's a cost to following Jesus. Will it cost you ungodly friends and relationships? If you follow Jesus, it will cost you. And I'm going to tell you something. It is worth that. Not only that, but if you truly follow Jesus, you may win some of those people that you care about to Christ. Because if you go to hell with them, they're going to be on you. If you knew the way of salvation and you just went along with them, not only are you going to be in torment, but they're going to be on you because you didn't warn them. This is a very serious time. Go to church for the show. Go to church for the programs. Go to church for every reason other than committing our life to following Jesus Christ. There's no getting around Jesus' prerequisite for following Him. It starts with self-denial, not self-indulgence. Second, take up your cross. Oh, I'm bearing my cross. They persecuted me at work. Poor me. No, that's still about you. Taking up your cross means, amen, that you count it joy. Is their acceptance more important than honoring Him? I'm a Christian. You know what I tell everybody? Deal with it. I'm a preacher that cares about your soul. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you never give a penny, if you never come back, if you end up in hell, your blood won't be on my hands. It'll be on your head. Amen. Joel Osteen said, and this is his own words. He said, they asked him why he never mentioned hell. My people need lifting up. They know what they need. I don't need to tell them. Yes, you do. You're directly responsible to tell them. The Apostle Paul put it this way: I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, I am pure from the blood of all men. The Apostle Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If you don't really know Jesus, and you go out of this building today lost, and something happens to you, where do you think you're going to end up? Many people think they're going to go to heaven, because many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, calling him Lord. Here's what Jesus said about calling him Lord. Number one, no man can call me Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean you can't mouth the words. It means no man can come to him except the Father draw them to him. You have to respond to the call of God. It's not a matter of mouthing words, because they thought mouthing the words would get them into heaven. He said, why call me Lord? And you don't do what I say. Do you not understand Lord? Do you not understand what it means? You're calling me your king. You're calling me your master. And yet you don't do a thing that I tell you. Why do you call me Lord and not obey me? Obedience marks the true Christian. He that committeth sin, live habitually in disobedience and rebellion, is of the devil, period. 1 John. Bible is not friendly to our sinfulness, because God wants us to see our need for a Savior and know the consequences of loving pleasure more than loving God. There's a cost to following Jesus. I'm going to submit to you today, it's well worth it. Amen. Oh, to gain heaven? Listen, if there was no heaven, I would come to Christ just to escape hell. If the walls were not jasper, if the streets were not gold, if mansions should crumble and people still grew old, still I'd see everything that I want to see. Because if Jesus is there, it's going to be heaven for me. Can you say amen? I'm glad I am not on the broad way that leads to destruction. I'm glad I'm not amening the AC/DC song. I'm on a highway to hell. Amen. Just flaunting that fact in the face of a holy God that gave his son, who gave his holy blood. And say, I'd rather be on the highway to hell then on the way to heaven, if on the way to heaven is going to take away all of my pleasurable sins, my pet sins, it's the ones that I know I'd have to give up. And you see, what you don't get is, when you give up something to follow Jesus, he fills it with himself. My body is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, and he that eats of my body and drinks of my blood, he will never hunger. And he will never thirst. You won't need that drug. You won't need that drink. You won't need that shot. You won't need that experience of sin. Amen. Why? Because he will satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Can you say amen? And not only that, he will seal you with the Holy Spirit and mark you as his. Nevertheless, the foundation, everything shaking, but the kingdom of God, having received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Can you say amen? But everything that can be, will be. And there's a holy purpose in the shaking, so that that which cannot might remain. There's a church that's going to stand the test of the last days. There's a righteous remnant that is not going to bow to any other God. There are people that are going to become true followers of Jesus and not phony Christians. When Jesus comes, there are going to be phony Christians that are not expecting him. They're earthbound. They're not looking for him because they're not longing for him. And to them that look, he shall appear. The second time, without sin, in other words, I'm not coming this to deal with sin. That happens at the great white throne. That happens in Revelation, the wrath of the Lamb. I'm coming for my saints. I'm coming for my jewels. I'm coming for my precious ones. I'm coming for the ones that I have sealed. I have sealed them with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Sealed. Not just preserved, but marked, branded. My wife used to make the best strawberry preserves, make you slap your mama. Don't slap your mama, she slap you back. Amen. Same for you. Don't slap your mama, no matter how good it is, okay? Deal? All right. That's a term for it's so good. It's so good. She would make them, she'd mash the strawberries right out of Plant City, put it in the mason jar, and the way you heat it up, and you could tell when it was being sealed, because you could hear a click when that lid is clicking, and it's airtight, and it's preserved. This is not preserving you until the day. This is marking you, so when it comes, there is no doubt that you belong to him. The word sealed there means to put a seal on something, a mark, literally a brand. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. Can you say amen? They said, Lord, I know you. He said, no, you don't. You didn't, then I don't recognize you. Depart from me, you that what? Work iniquity. The idea of a free ticket to heaven in the name of grace and living in sin without repentance is not biblical. It didn't come from this book. It is getting a bunch of people thinking they're ready to stand before him when in fact they are not. You say, Brother Vim, are you trying to shake my faith that I'm going to go to heaven? No, I'm trying to get you into a faith that isn't a hope-so faith. I want you to have a no-so faith, because I'm going to account for your soul. When I stand before God, if you go to hell, it won't be because this preacher compromised to get you to give in the offering, compromised to have a number count in the church, compromised to get you to like me, let alone love me. The Old Testament put it clearly in the book of Ezekiel. Son of man, I've made you a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy coming and you fail to warn, one of the things I'm missing today is a warning from pulpits, because we're into budgets, bucks, and buildings, when we ought to be into souls. And let God take care of that. If we need a bigger building because so many people are getting saved, I believe God's big enough to handle that. But if we're not getting people saved, it don't matter how many heads we get in a building with no hearts for Christ. There's a cheap grace, a hyper grace, that says get your ticket to heaven and live for the devil the rest of your life. The Bible says that's not true. If you get saved, if you get saved, you don't just get baptized in water. If the first baptism in the Spirit doesn't occur, baptism in water is meaningless. The Bible said when you get saved, you are baptized by one Spirit. This is not water baptism. Baptized by one Spirit into one body. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's, and once that occurs, you're identified with Jesus 100%. You are buried with him. Say it, with him. You are raised with him. You are seated with him in heavenly places. In fact, it gets so personal and precise. We, as committed Christians, born again and baptized into his body, we become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, one with Christ. The Christian in the scripture that is truly saved is never identified separate from Jesus. Buried with him, raised with him, seated with him. That word seated with him means joint seating. Isn't that incredible? We're putting everything on the outside, religious activities, religious formalities. Amen. We're not to lay again the foundation, even of baptisms. Some people build their whole denominational reputation on water baptism. If you haven't been baptized by the Spirit into Jesus, you go down a dry sinner and you come up a wet sinner. But here's what God wants to do. He wants to save the lost. He wants to seal that saved person with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, to mark them as his own. So when they say, Lord, Lord, he says, that's right, you're mine. You have the mark. That's why the mark of the beast, Satan wanted to be God. Everything he's doing is to mimic God. He's marking those that are his so he can take them to hell. God is marking those that are his so he can take them to heaven. So he doesn't just save you, he seals you with the Holy Spirit. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. It doesn't matter what kind of religious formalities you have been through. A priest can't save you. A priest can't. Only one priest, one God, one mediator between God and man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Ezekiel. Paul felt that so strongly. He knew what it said in Ezekiel. He said, woe. The word woe, when you see it in Scripture, it means, oh no. It's something that took him back. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Just the good part of it? No, the gospel involves the faith and the body of truth that was once delivered to the saints, not just the part about prosperity and riches and healing and gifts and all of the things people are clamoring for. If I were you, I'd get rid of the poor old me's, because it's the me that's causing the problem. I want my way. I'll go to a church that let me have it my way. I call them Burger King churches. Remember their commercial? Hold the lettuce, hold the pickle. Sure, we'll even hold the meat. Let you starve to death for protein, if that's the way you want it. Amen? Sure they would. They said you can have it your way. Their church will serve it up to you your way. They'll assure you you're on the way to heaven while you're on your way to hell. They'll never preach on the fact that you could be lost to make sure that you're saved. Everybody goes to heaven at the funeral. When I don't know, I don't say. I say what I'm told. But I've had some honest people at funerals say, well, I hope they made it. I hope they made it too. But you need more than a hope so faith concerning where you spend eternity, because you can't stay here. And you're not guaranteed tomorrow here. There's nobody guaranteeing you you're going to see tomorrow. You ever go to a cemetery and just look around? You think everybody out there is old and antiquated like me. No, there's people younger than you and younger than you. Their kids dying of cancer that'll never see 8 or 10. Their teenagers dying. Wrecks are happening. Shootings are happening. Drive-bys are happening. Diseases are rampant. Pestilence. Here's what the scripture says. If you see the enemy coming, Son of Man, I've made you a watchman. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I believe he meant more than just the judgment that's going to come upon the sinner, but the judgment that's going to come upon the watchman who fails to warn. To stand before God and have him say, you didn't tell him the truth. They went to hell because you never warned them. There have been people come to Christ out of some strong old-time denominations that have compromised, that never heard about hell or eternity. Never. And they were in a meeting somewhere where they became convicted of their sin, and they came to Jesus. I'm picky about where I go to church. I'm picky about who I listen to preach. A lot of people, if you got the programs down, you can count on me. Amen. You got somebody to take care of my crazy kids so I don't have to be bugged by them. I'll show up on Sunday. If you get me out of the Gnat's Eyebrow 12 so I can go have fun, I'll show up on Sunday. If you've got so many activities to entertain me, amen, if I can sit there and watch that praise team just jump all over the stage and never really enter into any reverential holy worship of God, soul cleansing worship, I'm there. I'll build your building. I'll pay that preacher. The Bible said one of the signs of the last days, they will heap to themselves teachers. Having itch in your ear. Tell me what I want to hear. Heap to themselves teachers. Not preaching under the anointing where they might just blurt out something that they wasn't supposed to blurt out. You get under the anointing, you're going to blurt out what God has to say. And you'll hear what the Spirit says to the church. And when the Spirit says something to the church, he's going to say things like, you've got that woman Jezebel teaching my people to commit adultery. And if you don't sit her down, I'm going to throw them in a bed with her and judge her and them with death. What? That kind of false teaching and sexual immorality, God said, I'm not going to wait till the judgment. I'm going to judge it then. Go over to Laodicea. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We can use that for a sinner, but it was a sinful church. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. You say, I'm rich. Has to be God's blessing, right? I'm increased with goods. Must be God's blessing. That's how you determine, right? And I have need of what? Nothing. You know why they didn't welcome Jesus? Because he brought a singular message to them. As many as I love, I just pet and give them everything their heart could desire. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. It said to faint not when thou art chastened of him, because he chastens every son that he loves and scourges every one that he receives. If thou be without chastisement, you don't belong to him. You don't belong to him. Sometimes the chastisement is not what he does. It's the consequence of our sin. It's our boomerang coming back. But thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for a God that anoints your head with oil and restores your soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to answer for souls. One thing I appreciate about my son, he never played the hypocrite. He hated hypocrisy. He saw it in too many Christian bands, and he saw it in people that would be with him in the bar through the week and be in church on Sunday. Some of his friends that came to his funeral, and boy, we filled up that little building we were in and had standing room only, and people were standing in the kitchen. So many people knew my son. They heard the gospel of Christ, and some of those that played in a pop band with him gave their heart to Jesus and witnessed to him. But he didn't play the church game, and the game is on today. That's why many, this is concerning, disconcerting, because this is where people spend eternity. Many are going to say to me, "Lord, Lord." That's presumption. That's assuming something that can't be biblically substantiated. But some preacher told them, "You're okay," and never told them, "You're in danger." Chuck Swindoll, huge church, conference speaker, I suppose hundreds of books. He said, "The longer I live," and he's not a Pentecostal guy, "the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that many people in my congregation are not ready to meet Christ." Listen to the reason. Because they profess Jesus, but there has been no change. No demonstrable change. Let me tell you what happens. You're baptized into Christ, and if any man be in Christ, baptized into him by the Holy Spirit, he's a new creation. Doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect, but it means you're not just giving in to every impulse of your flesh and serving Satan any longer. A new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's the standard for the new birth. That's the standard for salvation. And we've lowered the standard. I remember Tony Evans seeing his son when he was not very tall, very young. He had his eye on going to college and getting into professional basketball. But he was so short because he was little. I mean, I used to be short. I know exactly how he feels. Don't stand up beside me. You can, but not you. Amen. And Jimmy, forget about it. Tony Evans said his son came and said, "Dad, what I want you to do is I want you to lower the basketball standard down so that I can, you know, practice, you know, and make these shots. It's harder for me with that standard way up here." And he said, "Son, you will never become a professional if you have to lower the standard to make the shot. You got to keep working at it. And you got to grow," amen, "on top of working at it." We've got too many ministries today in order to get budgets, books, and buildings that have lowered the standard that God has set that indicates true salvation has occurred. I went to pray for a man. He was one of two. I led both of them to Christ. He sat and drank his beer, I don't know what brand, but he drank it. They started drinking when we were gathering for church. They started drinking early. It's 5 o'clock somewhere was their mantra. So that you that, you know, not into that world, you don't understand. That's commonly called the happy hour. However, look around sometime. People hooking up, looking for a hookup, a one-night stand, becoming inebriated and not knowing what they did, getting a DUI and losing their license, worse, hitting someone while drinking and being charged with vehicular homicide. You take a life and ruin your own life. Oh, the joys of the honky-tonk life. Oh, the joys of the club life. Oh, the joys of running with sinful people. Oh, the joy of following Jesus, of laying your head down at night, sleeping like a baby. Amen. Waking up in the morning and saying, "If I wake up here, God is with me. And if I wake up there, I'm with the Lord." It's a win-win. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I do not belong to the devil. I belong to God. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Shaking all over the place. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, this mark, the Lord knows them that are His. But He also knows them that are not His. And that's why so many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, I've done mighty works in Your name. I taught Sunday school. I volunteered at the nursery. I contributed to missions, on and on and on. These are church people, religious people. And these obviously are not pagans, and these are not Muslims, and these are not Hindus. These are Christians because they're calling Jesus Lord. These are Christians in name. Is that all there is to it? Name? Jesus says, no, it's going to take more than mouthing the words. And I will say to them, depart from me. Why? Because you didn't do these works or didn't call me Lord? No. You that work iniquity, you that live in unconfessed sin and continue, you're not mine. First John said, you're of the devil. That's strong language. You don't hear that strong language. Every watchman ought to use it and make sure everyone in that audience, not just because they walked the aisle 20 years ago. What in the world does walking the aisle? Well, they went down to accept Jesus. Oh, seriously? They went down there and that's it? You're not baptized into His body? You're not sealed with the Holy Spirit? You're not a new creation? You can live the rest of your life for the devil, but you walked the aisle? Biblical Christianity? Not my Bible. You're going to be judged by this book. That's why I'm going to tell you what it says. You probably won't love me after it. Most people don't. I'm not in this to be loved by people. I'm in this because I'm going to answer to God. That's why Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Oh, that gospel's good news. Well, this is good news. The good news is, if you're really not saved, you can get saved. That's some good news. The bad news is, if you play church, you're playing with where you spend eternity. And somebody needs to love your soul more than they want your money in the offering, more than they want you to come back to church, more than they want you to applaud you. I don't get a whole lot of applause for these kind of messages. But I have God's favor on my life. I have God's love in my life. Hallelujah. And believe it or not, this is a love message. God loves people too much to let them go to hell without a warning. The more I love, the less I am loved. Yeah, because if you love people, you'll tell them the truth. And Paul was looking at Ezekiel, and here's how it works as we get ready to close. Son of man, I have made you a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy coming, your job is to sound the alarm, to sound a warning. If you see the enemy coming and you fail to warn my people, they will be destroyed because you fail to warn them. But their blood will I require at your hand. That's why Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Not just the terrible thought of them facing the great white throne judgment, but the terrible thought of him having to answer for God by not telling the truth, to get the offering in, to get the applause of people, to get people to love him and applaud him. He said, when you hear me preach, oh, when he preached to Felix, the governor, Felix was used to being bribed to get people out of jail. So he said, you know, the church is sending offerings to Paul. He'll probably give me a bribe to get out of prison. So he used a ruse, and here was the ruse in the book of Acts. He said, come on, Paul. I want to hear the gospel. I want to hear what you have to say, expecting to receive something from him. And what he got was not what he expected. Can you say amen? Amen? Right now, there's a get-rich gospel. And they're getting rich. They're getting what they expected. He got before Felix the governor. His sermon is not recorded, but the effect of it is, so we can surmise what the sermon was. When Paul got through preaching, it said Felix trembled. Felix trembled and reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And said, go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. I'm not ready to get right with God. I'm not ready to answer for my sinfulness, temperance. I'm not ready to deal with the fact that I'm going to have to account to him when I die. Go thy way when I have a convenient season. There's no record of him ever coming to Jesus. What happens if he draws his last breath that night? There's no opportunity. Who said you had a second opportunity? God can give you 1,000 opportunities, but life doesn't promise you 1,000 breaths. Grace offers you unlimited forgiveness, but life, everybody in here, if we could illustrate it, we would put a big hourglass, one of the big ones, and watch the sands running. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There's a time to be born. Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time to die. When I had that stroke, it wasn't time. So here I am. Prayer changed everything. But there will come a time when it's time. And when it's time, the Apostle Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. And it's okay when it's time. They tried to kill him throughout his whole ministry, but it wasn't time. But when the time come, they did kill him. And he said, that's okay, because it's the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have finished my course. That God's purpose for me to do, I have done. And surely there's a crown laid up for me, and not only me, but all them that look for him. Hallelujah. But what was Paul's impetus to put himself in such danger and to be hurt like he was for preaching the gospel? The mark of a true apostle is not how many jet planes he has. If God gives you one, thank God for it. If God gives me one, I'd rather take a train. Give me an Amtrak. I mean, that's just me. I mean, I know the Lord go with me. If I need to fly somewhere, I will. But I'd prefer a train. You can eat on the train. You can sleep on the train. You can get them, stretch your legs on the train. If the train stops, you can get out and stretch your legs. Anyway, I'm just saying. I don't even need the Escalade. If you give it to me, what is it, 60,000, 80,000? No, an Explorer. Hey, the big Explorer is 80,000. Can you believe that? A lady was telling me it does her hair. She said, I looked at the top of the line, fully loaded, Ford Explorer. I thought, that's not an Escalade. That's not a Porsche or Porsche. This is a fully equipped, the big model. She said it was $84,000. $84,000. Do you realize I could take $42,000 and get his and her Equinoxes? Brand new with leather. And I wouldn't have to worry so much when I park in Walmart that somebody's buggy's going to get loose. But I need another one of these, and I need another one of those. You need a vision for the lost. You need a vision. Oh, this is going to help me win souls. Seriously? 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 With the message you're preaching? No conviction. No anointing. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy cometh and fail to warn, I'm a stickler for the ministry of warning. I refuse to support a ministry that doesn't warn the lost. I refuse. I refuse. I don't care how pretty the church is. I don't care how pretty the preacher is. And there's some pretty ones out there. Don't think I'm just saying. A lot of people following the personality instead of the person of Christ. Listen, son of man, I made you a watchman over Israel. You see the enemy cometh and you fail to warn. My people will be destroyed because you fail to warn. But their blood is on your head and on your hands. On the other hand, son of man, I made you a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy coming and you warn my people and they fail to heed the warning, they will be destroyed. But I will not require their blood at your hand. Knowing the terror of the Lord, I want to persuade people that if you're on the highway to hell, to make a U-turn as soon as you can. Amen? Because you're going to live forever somewhere. No one cheats death, and there will be no exceptions to standing before God. Even if the shark ate you, excreted you into the sea, and there's just some molecules, God said the sea is going to give up its dead. And the land is going to give up its dead. And everyone who has ever lived, if their name is not written in the book of life, will stand and answer to God for every sin they've ever committed. And the false prophet and the Antichrist and all whose names are not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. God wouldn't resurrect you from the first one just to kill you again and you're gone. He resurrects you from the first one to answer to Him for rejecting His grace, His love, and His only Son. And there will be no excuse. If I wrote a book or a memoir of my preaching experience and what I've seen happen in the church world, one chapter would be whatever happened to heaven. If you want to hear a good message on heaven, you have to go to a funeral. Because the church is so earthbound with bucks, buildings, and budgets. Christians are not even oriented to heaven. We're oriented to here and now. It's what I can get and enjoy in the here and now. And the second chapter would be whatever happened to hell. You would believe it ceased to exist. Somebody didn't pay the bill and they turned off the flames. No, what's changed is not heaven or hell. What's changed is the pulpits in America. What's changed is the church. The Bible hasn't changed. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven, because as wonderful as it is to go to heaven, it is a far worse thing to go to hell. So the Apostle Paul says, since I'm a watchman, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel. Not the pick and choose parts. Not what people want to hear. I'm not here to tickle your ear. I'm here to tackle the devil that wants you to go to hell. Amen. And get you to decide where you're going to spend eternity, so that you can make that choice before the opportunity is lost forever. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I sat with pastors at a pastor's conference. We're all eating our salad. The dinner is coming. The two knew each other. And since, you know, we're a little church and a little preacher, not just in stature, just in, you know, they didn't care to know me because I couldn't do them any good in any way. I heard them talking. One of them said to the other, how's your building fund coming? Because they're building this wonderful fellowship hall and stuff. He says, coming good. But we're going to have to go out into the community. And we're going to have to get at least 30 to 50 more members coming and giving to meet our new budget. I worked out at a gym in that area at the time. Stan Morey owned the gym. He was a doctor's degree in physiology. He taught biology at King High School. I shared the gospel with him, convinced him to go to church during the Christmas season. He went to a large church in Temple Terrace. He filled out a visitor card that he was an owner, a business owner, and this and that. And two deacons showed up on Monday. And that's a good thing, follow up. But you know what they wanted to know? They didn't want to know if he'd accepted Christ. They didn't want to know if he knew the gospel, what it means, what can I explain something to you. You know what they asked him? And listen, he started weeping. He had an expectation of something different from the Christian church and Christian leaders and Christian ministers. And he said the first thing they wanted to know, you're a businessman. Would you like to become a member of the church without even caring if he was lost or saved? See, it's going to help meet the budget if a businessman tithes his business. We can meet the budget. And they saw him with a dollar sign on his head instead of as a soul headed for eternity. And it looks successful because, in fact, they built the building. And it was fancy. And he said he showed them the door. He didn't want to talk to them anymore. He said, Preacher Bob, he said, I had a Bible that someone had given me. He said, I got it out. I looked in the front, something about Christmas, and I found the scripture talking about the Christmas story. And he said, I sat down with my children and my wife, and I read from the scripture. And I said, Stan, I cannot defend this experience you've had. It's wrong. It's wrong. God's concern about you is your soul, not what you can contribute to the budget of a church. God cares where you spend eternity. God loves you, Stan. He loves you. Amen. I want the fragrance of Him left in that gym. Where the disciples went in the new covenant, the fragrance of Christ went. And there's nothing Christian about a religion that looks at people as assets to the business of ministry. And there's nothing Christian and compassionate and loving about not telling people the truth on Sunday morning, because you could care less where they spend eternity as long as they come back to church and increase the number count and increase the budget. But God is different. If you don't know the Lord, He'll bug you at night. Holy Spirit, I call Him the Hound of Heaven respectfully. Amen. He will bother you. Thank God you can keep on sinning, but it won't be the same. Amen. Listen, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Oh, He don't just knock. He calls you by name. He said, if any man hear my voice, if you come to my door and I don't want to talk to you, I can do what I did when the pastor came to our door, sicked on us by my daddy. We were watching black and white TV. I got to tell it. It fits. I want you to know that I know. Don't think I don't. We didn't have time to turn off the TV or close the door. All it was a screen door. My car's in the driveway. The baby's in the back room. Don't let him cry. Don't let him cry. The preacher will know we're home. Hey, it's not the preacher that's about to get you. He'll be discouraged and leave if you just stay hid long enough. Let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. He will not get discouraged. He will not leave. Amen. He will hound you. Because God loves you. You better pray He never leaves. And He never lets up. Thank God if you are troubled this morning. If you're not saved. Thank God it's uncomfortable this morning. If you're not saved. God wants you to know that you're saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. And He wants to keep you safe from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. We jumped behind the couch. And we got down on our hands and knees. And He knocked and knocked and knocked. The thing He didn't do was say, Bobby, I know you're in there. But God does. A lot of people just talk about the knocking. Jesus said, if any man, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. God, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, speaks to us about our soul. And He speaks loud and He speaks clear. Can you say amen? And when He calls you to salvation, He's going to call you by name and say, I want you for mine. Come. You don't have to answer the call, but He will call you. And when He comes back, they that were with Him were called, chosen, and faithful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, therefore I am pure from the blood of all men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I will account to God. Take heed to yourself. And that you feed the flock of God, over whom the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer. The moment that occurs, there's a responsibility to God and an accountability to God. If you have unforgiveness, it's my job to tell you, you must deal with that if you want your prayers answered. It's not my job to sugarcoat it and say you can circumvent spiritual law and have all the blessings. You cannot. you can see just how popular this kind of preaching is. There was a time they'd fill a tent to hear this and sit out in the humidity. Those days are gone. The falling away is here. Many false prophets, you can have it your way, have gone out into the world. And people embrace them, heaping to themselves teachers. Having the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. You tell me what I want to hear, I'll show up. I might come back. I might even give to your fund if you tell me what I want to hear. They'll fill your building, they'll fill your coffers. And they'll think they're going to heaven because they're never told the rest of the story. Knowing the terror of the Lord. I pushed back at God for years. I got saved at 12 years old. And I turned away my mother and dad. They were all I had. My whole life was wrapped up in my mama, my daddy. When they went through a bitter divorce, something broke inside of me. I just calloused over in my heart. I had what many would describe as a nervous breakdown as a child, but I didn't know how to interpret that. I decided I'm going the other way. I'm not going to follow the faith of my father. My mother didn't have a faith. I led her to the Lord in a nursing home before she went home. Led my grandpa to the Lord on her side and my grandma on her side and my uncle on her side. I went the way of the world. After having a real experience with God when I was 12 years old, but I didn't know what I had. And there was no depth of commitment. But on the way home, by myself, working a night shift when I was all alone, the Holy Spirit would come. Call me to salvation. And I would push back. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to give up my sins. I'm going to tell you, if anybody tells you sin isn't fun for your flesh, they're not telling you the truth. Sin is fun for your flesh. But is it worth feeding your flesh on that sin to miss heaven and to miss Him? That's what you have to weigh in the balance when you're called to salvation. I remember coming home and I remember the Lord speaking to me like He always did. I came to expect it. I had a good heavy metal rock channel on my radio. And I would turn it up to try to drown out that sense of aloneness and what ifs. Just kind of go into that world and forget about my soul and where I spend eternity. Yet I knew it was real. I turned the radio up. In other words, God, don't bother me now. Someday, you know, when I'm old and gray and in my rocking chair and sin isn't as much fun, I'll consider getting right. You can't do that. You can't play that. God don't play that because He knows there's no guarantee you're going to make it to sit in your rocking chair. And as a tree falls, so shall it lie. There is no purgatory. There's no priestly prayer to get you out of hell on the way to hell. There is a priestly prayer to keep you from going to hell, and Jesus is the one praying it for you. Can you say amen? But you have to respond. I push back, and I push back, and I push back. And finally, God knew some things in my future, and He decided to corner me. I was on my way home, and I thought, I'm off. The weekend is here. Man, I'm going to have a good time. I wasn't a big sinner. I was just a sinner. I couldn't sin much. Pam would kill me, and then it'd be, you know, I was married. What did she say? We were too poor. You got that right. We couldn't afford liqueur. We couldn't afford to go to no club. We had to have gas for work. But that night was different, Brother Taylor. That night was different. It got real quiet in that car. And suddenly, I sensed that I was away from God and in danger. Great. I didn't know what, but I was in terrible danger. And then while I was sensing that, simultaneously, God spoke to me. And he said, if you really don't want me in your life, I will leave you on your own. And you talk about hair standing up on end. That bugged me. That bothered me. That chilled me to the bone. That's what's missing today. Sinners are lost and they're unconcerned about eternity because they're not told of the terror of the Lord, i.e., in effect, facing God and accounting for our sins with no blood sacrifice to save us. And it just so happened that my wife had begun to seek the Lord. And she watched one of the campiest Jesus movies you could imagine. It just, you watch it today, you say, oh, you know, it's like a stage play. But the scriptures were in it. And the call to salvation and what he came to accomplish was portrayed. And when I got home, the lights were on. And I thought, she's supposed to be deeply sleepy. This is the wee hours before dawn. And I've had this experience. I got out of the car, went in, and the first thing I wanted when I got in was to see if she had any cigarettes because I smoked mine up. Lo and behold, she flushed them down the commode. There they went. But I asked her, what's wrong? She said, I've come to Jesus. She had been to church, but she had never come to Jesus. She went down front, big difference. She'd went down front, but she'd never come to Christ. But that night, he called her through something so simple, you wouldn't believe that he could use it. But the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even in a campy movie when it's quoted. She came to Christ. Of course. About what he's offering. What he's offering. See, you don't come to Jesus just to escape hell. You come to Jesus to get heaven. And to get him on top of it. Praise God. It took a week for it to get through to me. But I was so scared I called my daddy. And I said, Daddy, is there anybody having church? I need to get in church. What I didn't know is he was interceding for me to be saved. His pastor called him. Dad had stomach troubles his whole life. He ate Tums like candy and drank Maalox by the bottle. He had been prayed for and the healing hadn't come. part of it was his nerves. It really wasn't a physical problem as much as it was emotional. But his pastor called him, who became my pastor, spirit-filled guy, and he says, "Bob, God told me to call you and agree with you in prayer that he's going to grant your prayer if we agree in faith. What do you need?" He said, "I almost blurted out, I need to be healed." And he said, suddenly it hit him, "My son, I'm not sure he's right with God. I'm not sure he's right with God." He said, "Pastor, pray for my son that he be right with God and ready for the coming of Jesus." And that's what they prayed. And that's exactly what happened to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Long story short, I came to Christ in Waimama in a full-blown commitment to follow Him. How do you know it was full-blown? Because I'm 76, halfway to 77, and I'm more committed to follow Him now than I've ever been in my entire life. Take this whole world and give me Jesus ain't just a little song to me. It is the anthem of my soul. Can you say, man, if it costs the world, it's worth it. If it costs me my life, it's worth it. But the good news is, he that hath the Son hath life, and he has it more abundantly. Amen. That front row at the concert in Detroit, they've been lined up for hours to see, what's that gal's name? You don't know? You don't keep up with pop culture? Swift Taylor. That's right. You got it, brother. She says, "Taylor Swift is..." You can have that front seat. There's nothing sinful about listening to a concert, but I'm saying you can have the front seat. Give me a front seat in a church where Jesus is being exalted, where the gospel is being preached, where God's being worshipped by saints that love Him and want to serve Him. Can you say amen? Show me where they are. I want to be part of that crowd. I want to be part. I want to listen to that preacher because I know he cares for my soul. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. They gave us an extra hour, but I'm going to be merciful. God is good today. There will be services where I plan, I study. There will be a day what I have studied, I will get to preach. This wasn't that day. I will always give place. You've found that out by now. I will give place to the Holy Spirit. Are you discouraged? Are you weary on this road to heaven? Because of the condition of the world about you, getting worse and worse. Here's what Jesus says to you. When you see these things that you and I are seeing right now in our culture, when you see them begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing very, very nigh. You're too close to the finish line to get out of the race now or to be sidelined. It's time to run with perseverance the rest of the race of life. For he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. For we are partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You can't win this race if you don't finish this race. Can you say amen? You that have come back to the Lord, dig deep. Hallelujah. Lay your foundation deep. The winds are going to come. Any man that hears my sayings and does them, commit yourself to obeying God. Get out of the me generation and get into the he generation that worship him and no other. Hallelujah. The winds are going to come. The flood tides are going to beat against it. But it will stand the wind, and it will stand the force of the flood, for it's founded on a rock. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Commit yourself to follow Jesus, and heaven will give you everything you need to follow Him. And whatever you think you're giving up to follow Him, Paul said, the things I once counted gain in light of what I'm gaining, I count them as but dung. Don't even let the devil have you weigh it out, the destiny of your soul, for your sin. Astonished Jesus, what will a man give in exchange for his eternal soul? What sin is that gratifying? What person is that important that he would sell his soul for eternity just to continue in that sin? It broke his heart. Christian, stay faithful and true to God. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back, because it's the first step in going back. It opens the heart for deception. Will you join hands together? And let's pray for one another. Let's close with this great truth. In spite of it all, in spite of all hell is doing in our culture and around the world and all the demons that are arrayed against us, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Hallelujah. When He comes, He will not have to figure it out. He will not have to decide, because the ones that are His are sealed by the Holy Spirit for eternity and for salvation. If you don't turn back, hallelujah, the enemy cannot claim you. Glory to God, hallelujah. Make sure that you're His. Glory to God. Salvation has come. The Savior is here. The call to salvation is a clarion call. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and call and warn, for I'm mighty to save. I am mighty to save. Come and be saved. Come and be sealed. Come and be safe from the wrath to come. If you're not saved, if you'd come forward, I'd love to pray with you to get saved. If you are saved, and you know that you are saved, dig in deep. Dig in deep and lay your foundation on the rock of hearing and heeding His Word. And He will keep you, because you've kept the word of His patience. He will keep you from the hour of temptation that is coming to try all the inhabitants of the earth without exception. the day of the Lord hasteneth greatly, and it burneth like an oven. Being saved from the wrath to come is a big deal, and a good deal, and worth it. Whatever it takes to follow Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I praise you today. Thank you for allowing me to be a watchman. Thank you for the warning so that people can heed that warning. Thank you for the safety that you offer us. Thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen and amen.